I know it's already been said, but you do not want to miss the Playmakers Christmas program tonight. They've worked really, really, really hard, and we're super proud of them. Come out and watch these children share the gospel of Jesus Christ through this play, and we're excited about that. And the live nativity, too. I haven't seen one of those in a while, and we're super thankful that we've got a crew together that's taking care of that. And then we'll have refreshments afterwards. So make sure that you invite your family and friends out to join us tonight for this wonderful time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the opportunity this morning to stand and praying that God will deliver us once again. And if you're lost, we want to see you get saved. If you've lost your joy, we want you to find that this morning, because guess what? We're going to preach about joy this morning. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to be in the book of Psalms, the 16th chapter, starting in the 8th verse here, the 16th chapter of the book of Psalms. We're going to continue in one of these. This is a reading that you probably should have read this week if you have your Advent card. So in the 16th chapter of the 8th verse is where we'll start. It says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us once again to be at your house and to worship and to celebrate the risen Savior, Lord Father. We ask you, Lord, to try all of our hearts this morning, Lord Father, that we would be in your presence and understand this morning the seriousness, Lord Father, of having a relationship with you. If there's someone here that doesn't know you, we pray that they would come to an altar of repentance, Lord Father, and receive you into their life. Lord, I understand the strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word, and I accept that responsibility. We thank you for this opportunity and for this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to talk about joy. We've already covered a couple of them, and hope and peace, and we're going to talk about joy this morning. So there's a main point. So when we're thinking about that, it's joy. Okay, that's the main point. So here's what I want you to remember. You may want to jot this down. Out of all this, if anything at all, I want you to remember this throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. Remember this, that joy is found in the presence of the Lord. Joy is found in the presence of the Lord. So oftentimes when we begin to talk about joy, we think of what? Happiness. Okay, so here's what I want to tell you. Happiness is based on circumstances, okay? I get a new iPhone, I'm happy, okay? I get a new case for that, I'm happy. You know, I get a new car, I'm happy. Some new clothes, I'm happy. It's all circumstantial. All these things are circumstantial. You get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you're happy, okay? You walk into your house and it's magically clean, you're happy. You know? Those are things that make, so it's all circumstantial. So if you don't get a new iPhone and your phone tears up, you're sad, okay? So it's all circumstantial. But here's something about joy. Joy is based on the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what joy is based on. And any time that we think about joy and our happiness here in this life, if we can always refer back to John 3:16, there's some sense of, I don't have it so bad that comes. There's joy there, because I'm glad here. If it was up to me, I would lose that joy. But I'm glad that in the scripture he tells us, hey, man, Jesus said, you're in my hands, I'm in the Father's hands, no man can pluck you out. But that's assurance right there. There's a joy knowing that, man, I can mess up bad, but still God loves me enough that he sent his only son, that I can have a relationship with him, and I can live a joyful life. I can be happy and live a joyful life. Because really, honestly, when I'm in, the only time that I'm truly, truly happy is when I'm close and in the presence of the Lord. When I'm close to Him, when I'm doing what He says do, when I'm listening to Him, when I'm reading my scripture and serving and helping people out and a part of a small group, and just that when I'm in His presence, that's when I truly am my happiest. So if anybody could give us an example of what joy was about in the Old Testament, we read this and David wrote this Psalms. David is a good example for us to look at when we think about, well, give us some examples, you know, of what joy really is. We can look back at David's life because David, you know, David came on the scene, okay, when he fought who? Goliath. Okay, so he kind of, you know, they talked about David, but he really, you know, that's when David really came on the scene, is when he went out there and defeated this big giant. This giant, when you think of it, you think of Shaquille O'Neal's size. He's bigger than that. Goliath was bigger than Shaquille O'Neal, okay? So he's big. This is a big. So David came on the scene when we hear him talking about fighting a Goliath. Here's a shepherd boy that went out. All he done was he tended the sheep, he took care of those. He went out, you know, he was going to go check on his brothers and stuff, and they were ready to battle. But his heart was there at the battle. And he went up there, and nobody else would fight Goliath. And he said, I'll fight Goliath, okay? He said, how honestly, when you think about it, here's just a shepherd boy. It's probably a pretty common-looking, average-sized guy that was going to fight. How could he be so confident knowing that I'll go out there, I'll fight Goliath? Because he recognized that there's joy in the presence of the Lord. Well, how does he know there's joy in the presence of the Lord? Because it says before that, guess what? David went out and he killed a lion and he killed a bear. You know, so he understood that being close to the Lord and having that joy and knowing that the Lord is in his presence, there was great joy in that. So he was confident in what God could do and the ability that he could do and work that in. So guess what? He was saying, guess what? The Lord's with me. If he takes care of me when I go out here, so be it. But if he don't, it'll be all right too, because we read here in Psalms what we read to it. He said, if I'm here, when I go, I'm going to be all right. I'm secure. Everything's going to be fine. So he understood what true joy was all about, because he killed. If I'm going up against a lion and a bear, I'm taking a lot of ammo. Okay? I'm taking a lot of ammo. I'm not taking, you know, my hands and just going out there. I'm taking reinforcements. Okay? Reinforcements. But David was confident enough to know that there's joy in the presence of the Lord. Have I said that to you this morning? Because I want you to remember that. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. So here we are in the Psalm 16, David explains how there's joy in the presence of the Lord. When he talks about this in verse 9, he says, my body also will rest secure. And when he's talking about that, I think he's kind of sensing that there's one coming that's greater than all of us. There's one coming. I believe that he was able to say that, guess what? If I'm here, I'm secure. And he was talking about the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus Christ here. When we think about this, well, how do you know that? Let's look over at Acts 2, 24 and 25. In Acts 2, 24 and 25, Peter was proclaiming this, and he was actually talking about David here. It said, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. So David understood. He was referring back to David here, but Peter was talking about the coming of Christ. He was talking about, so when he said, I'm secure in their comfort, in their joy, and knowing that, guess what, whatever happens in this life, I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, so ultimately I'm secure, I'm safe, I'm in good shape, because if I stay here, guess what, I can bless other people that they get a relationship, but if I go on, it's going to be good too, because I'm going to be in heaven with the Father and the Son. There's great joy in that, walking around thinking, man, I'm confident. David was confident in proclaiming that Jesus Christ was coming. I'll be secure and safe no matter if I'm here or if I go. So David's confident of facing death, and his soul was going to be secure, so he knew everything was going to be all right. Everything was going to, isn't that great to think about? Everything's going to be all right. Well, you've had a bad week. Well, you've maybe fought with someone this week. Things just aren't going well. How can it be so good? Things are just not going so well in my life. How? Because are you in the presence of the Lord? Oftentimes when I feel Satan fighting in my life, I might, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not going to steal my joy. Have you ever heard yourself saying, you're not going to steal my joy? Satan, you're not going to steal my joy. And sometimes you have to proclaim that and stand up and say, you're not going to steal my joy. I'm not going to allow you. And guess what? He's going to fight even harder. He's going to fight even harder. He's going to fight even harder. But being in the presence of the Lord helps us speak with confidence of knowing there is peace, hope, joy, and love in the presence of the Lord. There's great joy in that. Fullness of joy is knowing Christ. So this was, we look back, this was David in the Old Testament. Well, how do we experience that today? How do we experience that joy today? I'm going to read here in Luke 2:11. I'll explain it to you a little bit. 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." There's joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Everyone's heard that song. Everyone probably knows how to sing that song. Joy to the world. Why don't we proclaim that more? And why don't we stand up and confess that joy to the world, God loved us enough and sent his son to die for us. Joy to the world. Too often we walk around with our head down. And when we look, we can't even find the Christians in the world because we blend in so much. We blend in. They're unhappy, we're unhappy. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. The wise men. Have you ever been in a dark, dark, dark place? Has there ever been a time in your life when you're saying, God, I don't know where to go. I don't know what situation. I'm in a situation and have no clue on which direction to go. And you're asking, God, please show me a sign. Please give me some kind of a sign where I can understand the plan that you have for my life, that I can understand. And it's a very dark place that you're thinking, there's no way, but Lord, I'm going to have confidence and understand that you do have a plan for my life. Have you ever been in that place? Are you in that place this morning in a very, very dark place? Well, listen to this. Matthew 2:1-2, it says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And in Matthew 2:10 says this, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding with great joy, in their such joy in knowing that when you're going through a dark time in your life, when you're knowing that, God, I trust your plan, but where are you at? Where are you at? And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, he shows you a sign. He gives you a star and says, here's the direction that you need to go. This is the place that you need to go. To go this direction when you thought you should have been going that direction, God says go this direction. And if we'll keep our eyes on the light of Jesus Christ and follow the star in the direction that he would have us to go, I promise you when you get to that star, you're going to find peace in the presence of the Lord. The wise men saw the star. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. So what does the true joy of Christmas really mean? What does the true joy of Christmas really mean? Think about that. I get happy, I get a gift, I'm happy. What does the true joy? Here's what Matthew 13, if we can refer it back to anything, I would say Matthew 13, 44 says this. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything that he has and he buys that field. So what is the true joy of Christmas? I'm talking, it's about eternal salvation, knowing that there's something there that's greater. This man went and sold everything that he had. He covered it up because he thought, I want to get back to there. I want to buy that field. I know that there's joy there. I want to buy that field. And he runs and sells everything that he has, and he heads back and he buys that field. Why does he buy that field? Think about this. Because there's joy in knowing salvation has come. Do you realize that God loved us enough that he sent this baby named Jesus? And I look and I've tried to dissect, well, surely there's a fault in there somewhere. Surely I can try to decipher. Because people have been looking for years and years and years. But this perfect story, this perfect experience of a real life happening, that a baby was going to be born of a virgin and her name was going to be Mary, and Joseph was going to marry her and he was going to take her. And what I'm saying, the joy of Christmas, what I don't want you to miss is I don't want you to miss the joy of Christmas this year, because I read an account in the Bible where someone allowed Christmas to pass right in front of them and said, hey, there's no room for you here in this inn. And I don't want you to be that individual when the baby Jesus walks right in front of you, that you say, there's no room for you here in my end. There's no room for you here in my heart. What an awful tragedy it would be that in 2017, Jesus made his appearance right to you and you said, I don't want to have anything. There's just no room for you here. I've got too much going on. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. The joy of knowing salvation have come, and the joy in what salvation brings. What does salvation bring? So we looked at the past where David found joy in the presence of the Lord because he was confident how God delivered him. There was joy in the presence of the Lord. And it said, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's how we experience now. So the joy of knowing what salvation brings, I'm going to heaven, not because anything that John did, but because of what God did, that he loved us enough to send a little 8-pound baby Jesus. I'm just saying 8 pounds. Thought you'd get a crack out of that. I don't know how much you weigh. He sent him here to this earth. And you know what the amazing thing is? Yeah, Jesus said, yeah, let this cup pass from me. If there'd be another way, please let it happen. But guess what? Not my will, but thy will. Man! Not my will, but thy will be done. This baby Jesus came. He came to this earth knowing that what it brings. So we look at the past joy. We look at the present joy that we have, that Jesus came to this life, and the eternal joy that I'm going to tell you, it's going to be good over there. It's going to be good. Well, what's going to be going on? I'm going to be where God and Jesus is at, okay? So if you want to find me, I'll not be at the coffee shop talking. I'll be where God and Jesus is at, because we're going to be forevermore in the presence of the Lord. So guess what? You won't be able to be sad over there. You won't be able to be mean to anyone over there, because there's hope, peace, joy, and love in the presence of the Lord. And that's what heaven is, if we're going to be in the presence of the Almighty Father that loved us enough, that sent baby Jesus to us, that died on a cross, that rose again on the third day, so you and I could have this very opportunity in Montgomery County here this morning on December the 17th of 2017. We have this opportunity to experience Jesus in a way that we can experience him, because guess what? The Holy Spirit, I'm so glad. Yeah, I said, oh, what is the Holy Spirit? Well, it may run right over the top of you this morning if that's what it takes to get you on the altar. It may run run right over the top of you. I may hike here in just a second. Ha! Glory be to God. Shoo! Man! There is joy in the presence of the Lord. An eternal security to know, guess what? No more sorrow, no more pain. I can be happy over there. There's a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know that song? There's a joy down in my heart. Well, glory be to God because Jesus loved us enough to die for us. He loved us enough to die for us. Can you imagine? My back won't hurt anymore. Don't have to worry about paying bills. All those people that have passed on, that knew Jesus, they're going to be in the presence as well. There's going to be joy in the presence of the Lord. Listen to this. The hope and peace Jesus brings leads us to joy. The hope and peace Jesus brings leads us to joy. Now, there ain't a soul in here this morning that better be walking out with a frown. You better be smiling. You better come back tonight at 6 o'clock and support these young kids tonight. And you better be shouting the praises of God and saying, yes, for Jesus has come. And we're going to celebrate that because there's joy in the presence of the Lord. But you thought, man, he ain't got no props this morning. Grant must be rubbing off on him. No, I do. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. You know, it's good to have a church that can laugh. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all for having fun in the Lord. Thank you all for enjoying what Christ has given us down in our life. Because, man, life is tough. He didn't say it'd be a bed of roses, but it's tough. It really is. There's times that it is just tough. But I am determined, Satan, you ain't going to steal my joy. You ain't going to steal my joy. So when I was thinking about this, I love presents. I love gifts. I do. I love them. I love gifts. When I think about this, so I love Christmas time, okay? I love it. I love talking about Jesus. I love spending time with family. You know, and when I was young, presents meant a whole lot more. You know, I was like, how many do I got? Let's stack them up. Let's count them. Oh, yeah. You know, he's like, yeah, they're under the tree. I got this. Yeah. It was about presents. But there's something that during Christmas time that I love. I like, there's a movie that I like, okay, during Christmas time, okay? I know it, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, okay? The free form version, okay? It is family oriented, the free form. They bleep out everything, okay? The free form version. So if Jesus walked into my house, I'd say, man, check out Chevy Chase here, man. He's a... But I love watching that. It makes me laugh. I've got it on DVR. I've even got the DVD. I don't know why I DVR'd it. It just seems so much better to DVR something. It makes the show so much better. So I DVR it and we get it out and I watch it over and over and over and over and over and over again. But I love the character Chevy Chase because what he did, his name, anytime you hear Clark Griswold, everybody just chuckles. Everybody thinks about old Roy dog food throwing up on the thing. It's like, and get yourself something real nice. With that said, so I love it because he goes in, he gets his son out there, and his son's like, oh, goodness. He wants to decorate the house, and there's so much excitement and joy, and he's like, man, I'm excited. Let's get it. It's Christmas time. All the family's coming over. When I could have told Clark that's not a good idea, don't let them spend the night, okay? Set your party from 2 to 5. They exit at 5:15, okay? So he gets so excited. There's a joy, and they decorate his house, and he just wants it to be the best decoration ever. And you know, here's the thing. Here's what I thought of. So Clark went into his garage and got all of his stuff out. And he, you know, to me, it just seems like what happened. And he was so excited about it. And he got up there and he put everything up. But it looks like that he brought, you know, it's oftentimes, think about this. We put Christmas in a box. We put the joy of Christmas in a box. We oftentimes in December, we get out our stuff. Some of you in August, if you've got something wrong with you. But we take the joy of Christmas. We just start, oh, I remember that. We start pulling it out of the box. We start pulling it out of the box, putting up our decorations. And, you know, because it would seem weird to singing Christmas songs in March or July or something. That seemed a little odd. So I'm not asking you to sing Christmas songs in March. But what I am asking you is to understand what the true joy of Christmas is all about. It isn't, this joy isn't like this. Well, we'll get it out of the box. We'll be happy about Jesus. We'll put it back in January the 1st, and we won't talk about baby Jesus no more. No, but oftentimes we as people put it right in a box, and then what we do is we put it back in the attic. We put it in the basement. We put it in the garage. And we just put it up on the shelf and say, I'll come back to you, baby Jesus, in December. I'll come back to you then. And we box it up, but lo and behold, here's the thing. What I think the angels came, and I think they said there's good news to tell you of great joy. They didn't say, there's good news to tell you of great joy in the month of December, and then we forget about it. But they said there's good news of great joy that comes, that we get excited about. We need to quit putting this joy of Christmas on a timetable where we're only happy during and have this joy during this time of the year. We need to be joyful people that go out, that proclaim Jesus every day of our life, that talk about Jesus, that study about Jesus, that come to church, that worship Jesus. Every day of our life, 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. My little girl's been dancing so much with this musical, she was sleeping the other night dancing. There's such a joy. Be filled with joy that it spreads throughout your life every day. So I love Christmas time. And you know, my mamma, she was 92 years old, God rest her soul. Spunky. She was spunky. And you know, every time Christmas comes around, I'm often reminded of her and reminded of that little old trailer. Her and my grandpa, I'm often reminded of that. Because we would go, you know, we'd make our rounds to all the grandparents, and they were usually one next to the last stop, and we'd drive over to Hardinsburg, Kentucky, which is in Breckinridge County, which is in western Kentucky. Don't hold that against me. And we go to their house, and man, they didn't have a lot of money. Lived in an old small trailer that I tell you, you couldn't whip a cat in. But it was theirs. It was paid for. And anytime Wheel of Fortune come on and Pat Sajak began to talk, my mama would get a smile on her face because she could solve all the puzzles before anybody else did. But I'll tell you what, I'd do anything. Granny always, they always had us one gift. There's five of us. They always just had us one gift. It's like I said, they didn't have a lot of money. But I'd do anything if I could go back and get a pair of old tube socks from Grandma. I can't find the ones she used to buy me because they had the red stripes on them. When I was 7, 8, 9 years old, those tube socks didn't mean a thing to me. But now being 41, man, I'll tell you what. I'd do anything to be able to smell those mothballs again in their house. To be able to her to make me a bologna sandwich. And say, John, here's your gift. I'd do anything if I could experience that just one more time. But I'll tell you what. I will. And you know, let me tell you why I will. Because Christmas, yeah, we talk about presents, but the best present I ever get was when someone named Jesus Christ hung on a cross between the heavens and the earth. And I'll tell you what, the best Christmas gift that I ever got was knowing that Jesus loved me enough that he died for me, and I give my life to him because he loved me enough. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this morning, Granny is waiting for me in heaven. She is. And I might be wearing a pair of those red tube socks when I get over there. And it'll not be anything because of what Granny did or what this world gave me, but it'll be because there was a preacher that preached the gospel and the truth to me one day that told me about that their angels had said there's a baby coming, and his name's Jesus, and I'm glad that I became wise one day. I became wise because I began to search this thing out, and I'll tell you this morning, the greatest gift that you'll ever find in your life is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I cannot express to you enough how important it is to give your life to him if he's dealing with you. Because I'm telling you, I'm proud to belong to a place where the gospel is being preached and lives are being changed, and that God give us a country where we can still talk about Jesus Christ and people can still be saved. I don't know where you stand. I don't know your situation. But I am determined and I am confident in knowing there is peace, hope, joy, and love in the presence of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It says should not perish. It is your choice. You should not perish, but have eternal life. My eternal joy doesn't rest in this world, but it rests in eternity on the other side, because Jesus is going to come in the clouds of glory and he's going to take his bride home. And I'm glad that I'll be a part of that. And if you're not a part of that and you don't know Jesus this morning, come to an altar, come to me. We'll talk to you. We'll pray with you that God would save your soul. If you've lost your joy out here in the hustle and bustle, because I remember the hustle and bustle will get you all bogged down. If you've lost your joy, find that this morning, because David at one time has said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." This morning, be joyful what God's given us. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for your joy. Thank you, Lord, that we understand that there is joy in your presence, that you loved us enough to send your Son to die for us on a cross, that he was resurrected, and that one day he's going to come back to take us home. I pray this morning that your spirit would be upon our hearts this morning and draw us to an altar prayer, that we could be joyful for something. And most of all, we could be joyful knowing that this baby Jesus came. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and they laid him in a manger. And I hope and pray that someone can become wise this morning and understand the importance of the great gift that you've given us, and you've laid it right at the foot of the cross, and someone can receive that gift this morning, and that's the gift of salvation. Speak to our hearts this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Respond, listen to Jesus, what he tells you to do. Come to an altar if you need to pray, if you'll stand.